to this week's edition of the Pop Buzz Podcast, your number one destination for all your latest music news and all that's been good on the internet. I am your host, James. Joining me as ever are the rest of the Pop Buzz team. Woody's here. Say hello, Woody.
All right.
And Katie's here. Say hello, Katie.
I was going to say all right, too.
Oh, well, we're just going to have to all be matching, aren't we? exciting one this week, guys. Not only episode 30, first of all, episode 30. Yay! Quite a nice little milestone, isn't it?
Happy birthday,
and how appropriate that we should have this massive lineup of guests this week, the stars of what is undoubtedly going to be the biggest movie in the world by the time you hear this, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. We've got Zoe Saldana, we've got Dave Bautista, and of course, Mr. Chris Pratt. Heard of him? Heard of him? He's a bit famous, isn't he? Yeah, we all went down to the premiere the other night. We'll discuss that at length, I'm sure. All chaos that ensued. But yeah, it's sort of a Guardian special today. Later on, you're going to hear all those chats with those guys. Some amazing, fascinating details in there. And, you know, Chris Pratt, he's his normal, shy, retiring self, obviously. Ooh. Just, you know, absolute riot. So all that to come. So yeah, let's start as we mean to go on, shall we? We're all at the European premiere of Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2 the other night at the Hammersmith Apollo. Initial thoughts, basically, first of all. Woody, as a man who's never seen a Marvel film in his life, I think that's correct, isn't it?
Probably.
Not one Marvel
film. I'm sure I've seen one, but I couldn't name one to you, could
That
I?
Means probably not, no. Then, isn't it? Okay, but what were your thoughts then? Enjoyed it?
I mean, it was madness. I mean, what the bloody hell was going on?
You looked confused throughout.
I had a riot. Like, it's such a funny film,
yeah,
but like,
great.
I had no idea what was happening.
Well, that's quite a testament to it, though, isn't it? The fact that you found it funny despite the fact that you didn't get the plot in the slightest.
Yeah no, it's like, it's a good film to go and see if you just like want a good time.
Yeah, I haven't seen the first one, and I was like, this is hilarious.
Yeah, you are more a fay with the Marvel universe, though. Let's be real.
Oh yeah, I mean, I've seen.
You know your stuff.
Yeah.
Anything with a Chris in it, you're gonna go see.
Anything with a Chris in it, I will see.
That's fair.
I loved Groot. Groot really.
Baby Groot!
Once again steals the show, Baby Groot, doesn't he?
Really
he really,
does.
Really does. But no, we had a grand old time. It was a hell of an evening, actually, in general, wasn't it? Full of old one pint Woody was out in force, as always.
Hang on, let's not throw accusations around.
I'm not tarring you with anything. It's just a fact, that's all.
Don't make me drag you back.
Good old one pint Woody. but yeah, no, we decided, the best bit was we decided to play a little bit of a game when we went in, because obviously you're going to see some celebrities, the ones that are in the film, you expect that. But we went in and played a little game where we'd get a point if you spotted a celebrity that you would not realise was going to be there. So like I saw a UK comedian, Al Murray, the pub landlord. You'll have no idea who that is, listeners, but I saw him. That was a point. You saw someone off The Voice as well, right? Who'd you see?
Yeah, the winner of The Voice, Mo.
Okay, there we go. Good point.
He's great.
But then, who did I see out the corner of my eye, the back of his cheeky little head? Old Tristan from The Vamps, wasn't it? There he was.
Our BFFs.
Old friend of the show, spotted him. But who was next to him?
Oh, God.
Only James McBloody Vey. Of course he was. Yeah, it was a little Vamps twosome out for a little mandate.
Yeah, but what happened?
Well,
what happened?
Yeah.
Because I'm still reeling from this.
I may have said his name a little too loud and he turned around and came and said hello, which was nice, though, because he clearly, you know, we've met him many, many times, but I hadn't quite realised. I left you after a couple of seconds and you panicked.
So then James turns around to me and like, does that thing where he's like, I kind of recognise you and it's kind of awkward, so I'm going to shake your hand. So we shook hands and then I didn't know what to say to him. So I was like, oh, so have you been to the photo booth upstairs?
Had he though? Had he?
He hadn't.
Right, good information.
And
good
I was
information.
Like, it's wild, it's great. And he kind of just nodded.
You're
like,
missing out.
Yeah, mate, see you later. I was like, oh, God.
He knew roughly who you were. It's fine.
It's not. I'm not bothered about that. I just wish I could have said something more interesting than, have you been to the photo booth?
Like, I mean, the other
like some grandma.
The other God. Thing we should.
It's free.
Have you tried the entertainment, sweetheart? The other thing we should mention, again, we had a grand old time and the film is great and you're going to love these interviews later on. They're all just such a good laugh, the cast. But what was really, really quite cringe, there was some dancing at the premiere, wasn't there? Like, Katie, can you set this up for us here?
I don't even know if it was real or not. So we went in and there was like a DJ booth set up, wasn't there? And they were playing songs from the soundtrack, obviously, and the lights went down and it was all like, wow, it's going to start. And lasers started flashing everywhere.
Yeah.
And then people in the audience just jumped up, started dancing.
Yeah. Well, you say people, how many?
And there was like five.
Exactly. That's why it was
and
confusing.
No one was really sure if it was like meant to happen or if they were voluntarily dancing.
Yeah, because you would think it was going to be a flash mob and like loads of people were going to stand up dancing, but that never happened.
It was like five people the entire time.
And these poor two girls were like running up and down the aisles, like trying to get people to dance.
And like, the thing is, like, if it was meant to be coordinated, it was not coordinated. And I'm not, and that's not me calling them out for dance skills, because, you know, I can't cut a rug as well as they were doing, but they weren't doing the same thing at the same time, put it that way. So they were just kind of running around, and there was just that moment of confusion where you're like, were we meant to get up and do some dancing at this point?
I don't know.
It was an odd one, wasn't it?
I was living for them.
But then the best bit, when the director, James Gunn, absolutely lovely, he comes out on stage and the first thing he said, it was, he goes, wow, it was so amazing to see you guys all up and dancing before the movie, to which old One Pint Woody shouted.
He just went,
Great reaction from all who actually saw what was happening.
It was one of the cringiest things I've ever seen in my life.
I should say this, by the way, Zoe mentions in the interview later on, she bloody loved the dancing as well. Maybe they saw something we didn't up on the balcony or something, but certainly in our area, we were sat very bemused, but having a grand old time watching everything that was around. Oh, we had a little bop.
And to be fair, it kind of made my evening, so I'm so happy I witnessed that.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
No, a great time was had by all. Here I am.
What's happening?
It's all good, man. It's good to see you.
I really
enjoyed the film last night. I want to talk to you about loads of it. But first, you popped into our office this morning.
Yeah.
And you solved a Rubik's Cube at our desk, my friend.
Did I?
So, you did. You walked on by and loved it. I have one here.
Nice.
You reckon you can solve this while we ask some questions?
Yeah, sure.
Go for it. I love
this.
So, you're effectively an honorary Londoner now because you just are here so much. What are your fave hangouts when you've got a day off?
I just love anything to do with the Thames River.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that to me is like, that's like the best thing I can do while I'm here in London. It's so beautiful. I love running along the Thames. I love, like, I took a boat with my family and we went and had like a private tour. It was really, really sweet and really special.
Oh, that's lovely. Kurt Russell is, of course, playing your father in the film. Did you have any kind of fanboy freakouts when you knew you were working with him?
Right off the bat, I had to get out of the way. I was like, listen, man, you probably get this all the time, and it must drive you crazy, but I love you so much. Snape Plissken is my jam! And I just, like, told him everything from Overboard down to, like, you know, his role in Big Trouble in Little China, and, of course, Tombstone. I mean, like, you know, everything from the irreverent all the way to the serious. Like, the dude has been killing it for ages, and it was awesome to get to work with
him. Amazing to hear. Are you working on Avengers now? I know you're not going to tell me anything about it, but are you getting any hazing from the other two Chrises on set?
A little bit. A little tiniest bit. I can't get into exactly the details because it would give away a little bit too much. But okay. But I can say that. They were really welcoming, really great, and
nice.
And Downey was like the captain, and he has been
sure.
Like since I got this role and since I joined the Marvel Universe, he's been the dude who's like, you know, hey, listen, call me.
Nice.
You know, you're going to go through issues. You're going to talk. You're going to have things with the studio. I'm your man. He's like straight up like the captain for all of the upcoming Avengers. And he's really taken like me under his wing, Tom Holland under his wing, all these other characters. He really like feels responsibility for all of them. And he does a great job.
Beautiful stuff. Who do you think is cuter, Baby Groot or Lil Sebastian? Tough choice.
Oh, Baby Groot's cuter.
Oh,
yeah.
I mean, he is very cute.
Little Sebastian's not cute. He's beautiful.
That's true. That is the correct answer.
Yeah.
I'll go with that. On that note as well, which Mouse Rat song do you think is worthy of the awesome mixtape?
Oh, 5,000 Candles in the Wind. I mean, the tribute to that's what they should have been playing at the end. I don't want to get too deep into what happens in the spoiler
territory.
No,
of course. That would have been a nice a nice extra finisher. Yeah, we won't spoil that one. It's all right. I heard you got the Parks and Rec text chain going with the other members of the cast.
Oh, my God. It's been, I don't know how many years since we wrapped the show, but we've texted one another at least 15 times a day since then.
That's beautiful.
It's so awesome. They're so great.
Is there a name on the group chat? Do you give it a title?
I call it Parks Fam. I have it listed as Parks Fam, but I don't know. They have it.
That's fair play. What is the one food you miss the most now you're on this regime? Go on.
Man, just straight up protein. Straight up. I'm about to have a burger, but I miss a burger with a bun. You know what I mean?
It's all about the bread, isn't it? It's all about those carbs.
Yeah, I love a burger with the bun. I don't get the bun anymore.
Oh, that's a shame.
I just get like, I have to wrap it in like lettuce, like some kind of ale.
Just feels wrong. Tell me if this is too morbid, but congrats on the Hollywood Walk of Fame star. When celebs die, they always get a special item placed on them, right? When you eventually die, what do you want to see fans go up to your star on the Walk of Fame and place in tribute?
severed human head. Look, I finished it.
Dude.
Awesome. I would like, you know, little pop.
How long was that, by the way? Is that like 3 minutes, something like that? That's incredible. Man, like, that was so good.
Like, pop, the little pop Star-Lord doll would be awesome.
That'd be cool.
You know, those little bobbleheads.
Well, I do have an idea, actually, because this is another little treat I've brought for you. I know there's so much good merch. Have you come across Dancing Groot yet?
Yes, I have.
Dude,
he's amazing. You know, when I go out and visit kids and stuff, this we oftentimes we give
you
these
guys.
You
gotta hit the button. Give it a blast. Yellow on the front there. It's just the best.
Watch.
I mean, you can't be unhappy with that. No.
Why have you assaulted the child?
I mean, come on. That's just cruel.
So adorable.
That's just cruel.
You know what's cruel? God. You can't turn it off without taking batteries.
That is the worst thing, isn't it?
No, good luck.
You think I didn't realize that in prepping for this?
Wow.
Chris Pratt, Joy and a pleasure. Film's great.
Thanks, man.
Good to see you, dude.
Nice to talk to you, too.
We should explain, by the way. So, you know, I said at the beginning there, oh, do you want to do this Rubik's Cube? He really did walk around our office and do a Rubik's Cube, yeah. Didn't he? It was madness. He picked one off the desk, disappeared around the corner, and came back with it done in
the
about 2 minutes.
The most surreal moment of my life.
Yeah, it was absolutely outrageous. So, yeah, go and watch the video. Now you've heard that. Go and watch the video. It's on our YouTube channel. It's on our Facebook page. Like, go and check it out on the site. It is such a sight to behold. The man does a Rubik's Cube while doing the interview without even flinching. It's amazing. What a man of many talents, anyway. What a man of many talents.
Amazing.
Welcome back anytime.
Zoe Saldana, nice to see you.
Good
so,
to see
first
you.
Of all, congratulations, because it really does match up to the original. I absolutely loved it, really, really did. I know you've talked a lot about the makeup. It's a long time in that chair. I was wondering, how do you actually occupy yourself there? Are you running lines? What's going on?
Yes, I do run lines, of course, and my team, they end up knowing my lines more than I do sometimes, because we're together 4 hours every morning at 2:30 or 3 o'clock in the morning, so... but I talk a lot.
No, that's fine.
I never shut up. I'm just one of those women. I'm just like a chatty Cathy all the time.
Yeah, you got to do that. How long does it take to then all come off as well? And
much quicker for it to come off. So it just takes like an hour.
Oh, okay.
Versus like for David, I know it's 2 hours to apply or an hour and a half to apply, but it takes him a longer time to take off.
Oh my God. Well, there you go. Well, obviously, one of the highlights of the film is this massive fight sequence with your sister, Karen Gillan. How competitive did that get? Because obviously you're friends in real life. Was there any kind of sort of competitive edge there when you're shooting those things?
Maybe, but it's never unhealthy. It's almost like healthy cholesterol, right? You need healthy cholesterol. I almost feel like you need like a healthy competition. It's always because we care so much about what we're doing and we care so much about where these characters are at and where they need to be. Mm. And this relationship between these sisters, I think we were quite moved by it. I think that you need it because Nebula is so angry and Gamora is not resolved, but she does have issues with Nebula. So you can only get there by probably having a little healthy competition.
Absolutely.
I have to keep up with Karen. She's fantastic.
Oh, she's great. No, such great performances all around. And of course, there's some new members to the Guardians this time around. I was wondering, if you had to pick another new member, would we go Neytiri from Avatar or would we go Uhura from Star Trek World? What are we thinking?
I don't think Uhura would last a day with us.
Really?
I think she has been so well trained at Starfleet Academy that she'd be like, I'm not working with any of these people ever. She would leave immediately. She would call an Uber rocket and leave. I think Neytiri would be a wonderful asset.
Dave Bautista, good to see you, man. Congratulations, first of all. It's so good. I mean, it lives up to the original. It's so much fun to see. You're back as Drax, obviously.
Right.
It feels like you even get more physical in this one than the first one. Did you find that? Were you prepared more for more fight scenes and that kind of thing this time around?
No, I was actually thinking the opposite.
Really? I don't know. I felt like you were more front and center with the action this time.
I felt like I was more front and center with the jokes.
Well, that's true. It's a nice balance. I mean, obviously, it's such a great comedy role as well. Is that something you want to explore more and more in future films? Because you're a great comedy performer.
For sure. I'd like to do actually just a regular, maybe a buddy-buddy cop comedy.
awesome.
With Sean Gunn. I always thought we would make a good buddy-buddy film.
That would be really cool.
Yeah, I think so.
No, good stuff. And of course, we know you from the world of wrestling beforehand. How do you find those skills translate when you're doing a big action-heavy film like this?
It's weird. And this may sound strange, but I don't think there's not really a crossover.
Oh, really?
They're just so different. And, you know, wrestling is such a big, broad thing, and it's so... It's an improvisational, physical performance, whereas film is just, it's so much more precise, so much more intimate.
Sure.
I definitely carry my athleticism over.
Yeah, is the training regime quite similar?
I don't really change my training regime. I pretty much train the same all year round. It's just, with these, it sounds odd, but I think fight scenes and films are just, they're much more choreographed than wrestling. Wrestling is very improvisational, physical performance.
Of course, and Drax being such a literal character, if we dropped him into the world of WrestleMania tomorrow, what do you think his reaction would be?
I think he'd want to be champ. I think he'd, you'd have to talk him out of bringing his knives to the ring, but I think he'd want to be champ and think that he could easily become champ. He's, Drax is very braggadocious. He's, a little bit arrogant.
To say the least, let's
probably,
be fair.
He's probably tailor-made for professional wrestling.
That's true. He would be great, actually. I'd love to see him. Let's talk a little bit about James Bond as well, because obviously we know him from those previous ones. Mm. Let's say Daniel didn't do another one. I'd love to see him do another one. Let's say he steps down.
Right.
Who do you think would make a good James Bond?
I don't, it's really hard for me to answer that because I hate seeing anybody else's James Bond right now.
No, sure.
I think he's brilliant. I think he's the best Bond since Sean Connery.
I would agree.
No offense, Pierce. I love you, man. but I just, it's really hard. But, I think there's been talks of Idris. I think that'd be really interesting. Tom Hardy, I think that'd also be really interesting. I think Fassbender would be a great Bond.
That's a good shout.
I think that would be my first choice. I think Michael Fassbender.
Guys, little extra news story for you. We only got nominated for a bloody award this week. How about
you're
that?
You're joking!
How about
you're
that?
Joking.
Not another one!
That was my reaction entirely in the Bristol accent. No, we're delighted. It's mad. It's the Online Media Awards. We thank you very much to the judges there. Incredibly stiff competition in that category as well. Some amazing, amazing podcasts from other big publications. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much to those guys there. And we thank you for all your very kind messages on Twitter, actually. There were a lot of people who kind of retweeted that announcement and everything. It was very, very sweet. Anyway, if you want to find out why we get nominated for awards these days, guys, how about you go back and listen to some of our previous episodes. Hey, let's play my new favorite game. Can you remember our previous guests? Katie, who have we had on the podcast in the past? Go.
Scott Eastwood.
Woody.
Dua Lipa.
Go.
Zara Larsson.
Ollie Alexander.
Hayley Steinfeld.
Someone else.
We've had someone else. Katie.
Another one.
Brendan Urie, the Vamps. Joe Sugg and Casper Lee. Joe Sugg on his own. We've had loads of people. Yeah, it's been great. My Dad Wrote a Porno. Joe Lycett. Loads of great guests. So if you want to hear all of those and more episodes, you can go and subscribe to us over on iTunes, over on SoundCloud, over on basically anywhere you get a podcast. Just look it up. Search for Pop Bells Podcast online and go and listen to the previous 29 episodes as well as this number 30.
What the f*** is happening in the news?
Let's talk music. So, weird week for music news, really, because it feels like there's lots of news about to happen that hasn't quite been announced yet. So the obvious one we've been covering a lot on the site is Fall Out Boy, who've been teasing something via a Matty Healy-esque neon sign, don't at me, in the sea that's got this imagery. It looks like it's going to be an album. And to be honest, by the time you're listening to this, you probably already know it's an album. But I think it's a purple album is the implication. But they've been stretching this one out. Then you've got old Katy Perry.
Hi.
Again, we're fans.
She's back at it again.
She's like, bake a cherry pie online and then you'll get a give me a single. Why am I baking a pie in order to get you to release some new music? It's your job.
This isn't Bake Off.
What do we think about this guy? This is it's a worrying trend. Gone are the days of the surprise Beyonce release, it seems already, and now people are stretching this promo out.
Yeah, it's like when like at primary school you had to do orienteering. It's like that. Like
it
go
is, isn't it?
Read a map, look at the signs, try and figure out something. Like, no, that's not how it works.
We mentioned before, didn't we, Halsey, with the USB sticks buried in statues.
Yeah.
Who's got the time? We love you, Halsey, but
that's
come on,
love. It's not safe for the kids, is it? Are you going to send them on a friggin' treasure hunt into a park to find this USB in a forest?
It's a lawsuit waiting to happen.
Do you think there's any like music-obsessed hipster teachers out there like, come on, class, we're going on a field trip. Gold star for whoever finds the USB.
And you know what? It's not fun for people who, like, I mean, it was only great for us with Katy Perry and the Disco Ball because it was outside the office.
Literally there,
like,
yeah.
If it's like a really big fan down on the coast somewhere, there's not going to be a frigging Disco Ball there.
I respect Katy for encouraging the art of baking. I get it. I get it. But how about we have a little summer banger now? Is that all right? Yeah. Can we just drop it? We talked about Paramore a bit last week. But like, I do kind of respect the fact that singles here, boom, album release date, boom. It's only a couple of weeks away. Like, it's going to be we want the music. They've been away a while. And I think it's the same with these other guys.
Yeah. I think Katie just touched on it, really. Like, what the fundamental thing that's wrong with it is that it excludes more than it includes.
In
so, like, you know, actually, if I'm like a diehard Halsey fan and I live in, you know, Skegness, like, well...
Well, there wasn't even one in this country, was there?
No, yeah.
I mean, I was loving the Fall Out Boy hype, obviously, but it was all centred around Chicago. You had to go to a movie theatre in Chicago. Fair enough, their hometown, but, you know, it is like, okay, I get it, it's a big campaign. At least there's only a week to wait with that one. But, yeah, maybe we could just have a single drop, you know, like,
just,
now and then.
Just put it on a radio show or put it on a... Hey, put it on a podcast.
Hey!
Maybe a podcast.
I know a good one.
Do you know a good one?
What's the name of it?
Is it Pop Biz?
My dad wrote a porno, that's what it's called. Katie, if you're listening, Big Pete Wentz, if you're listening, if you fancy premiering a little track, we'll bake your pie. We will bake your pie. I can't promise it'll be a good pie, but we
like
will bake you one.
I do like the pie thing, actually. It's quite wholesome.
It is quite wholesome, isn't it, I suppose? And yeah,
cute.
I mean, I don't want to taste half the ones I've seen on Twitter popping up today, but you know, there is that. Lastly, big life story this week. It's a strange one, isn't it? Woody, do you want to guide us through this? This is the teen that turned down a place at legendary Brown University for a bit of an odd reason, didn't they?
Yeah, this teen had been accepted into Brown University in one of the most competitive pools of students ever. And she turned down the place because the university decided to use non-gender-specific pronouns in its communications with her. Her dad wrote a letter, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal.
It was in the Wall Street Journal, yes.
You know, basically saying, well, my daughter has always thought about herself as a woman, blah, blah, blah. But the thing is, they didn't even correct the university.
Yeah.
They just took offence and then decided, oh, I'm not going to study there.
Imagine being offended by something like that. It's just ridiculous. And then to turn down a place.
And to turn down a place at one of the most prestigious educational institutions in the world. Based on something as pedantic as that.
I'll be honest with you, the first thing that crossed my mind with this story is that there must be something we're not seeing here. There must be something we're not getting. There must be another reason why she didn't want to go to the uni. Surely. Because, like, that to me just... I think you wrote it in the article, didn't you? It screams privilege.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? That can't be the only reason.
Unless she's been accepted into five other Ivy League schools.
Absolutely.
What's her problem?
If you're applying for that, if you want to apply... Look, there's universities for everybody. If you want to apply for an Ivy League school and that is your ultimate goal, it's going to be the top of your list. You wouldn't turn it down for something like this, even as ridiculous a reason as that is. Do you know what I mean? There must be something else going on.
I can think of many better reasons.
Well,
like,
of course,
if you're like struggling for a reason, I don't know, like I don't like the professor or like the students like smell bad. Why do that?
The thing is, as well, it sounds like what most universities do is they send out a pre-written letter that have got those interchangeable
pronouns. Oh, of course, exactly.
So you're going to say they if you're going to send it to. Like,
she
whatever
thinks,
gender.
Her and the father think they are taking down some PC culture and all this stuff. And you're just making some poor office intern's day a bit worse. Yeah. That's
they
all you're doing.
They called it, like, extreme liberalism. What was it?
It was extremist left-wing.
That's it. That's ridiculous.
Goodness
girl, bye.
Here's the other thing that I know lots of people calling her out online. And rightly so, you know, none of us agree with those views. But it is like, they were saying that, she shouldn't be going to university like that. You know, shouldn't be going to university with those views. I would argue it's the other way around. Like, you need to get in there and you need to debate with people who completely disagree with you. And let's see what opinions come out on the other side. Let's broaden some minds here, people.
Yeah,
let's get in there and do some educating.
We should go visit her house. I feel like we're ready. Let's bring the change.
We need qualified educators on this one.
We're about to hold a lecture at Brown. Yes. Do come along.
Protests outside, not because we're on any kind of political spectrum, just because we shouldn't be there. We are not qualified to give those lectures. Speaking of which, though, let's move into the world of politics finally. This is a new little segment. I will explain why it's called this. It is called Snaps or Craps, everybody. Woo, here we go. So, backstory. As many of you may have noticed, our political climate was shaken over on this side of the Atlantic recently when a snap election was called, a snap general election, a sudden general election. No one was expecting Prime Minister Theresa May called for June the 8th. Now, that sounds quick, doesn't it? But this is how it always works in this country. Election happens. We normally know it's going to come a bit, you know, a bit sooner, but it is a short period of time. So what we thought is, in the build-up over the next few weeks, with a lot of our listeners probably going to be first-time voters as well, we want to just look at one news story each week, one ridiculous election-themed news story, and decide, are we giving it snaps or are we giving it craps? Is it a good story? Is it a bad story? Do we agree with it? Do we not agree with it? Is it salty or sweet, you might say? That kind of thing. One for the long-time listeners there. All right, so this week, there was an this is the social media-led world we live in, right? There was a story based around someone called Brenda from Bristol. So the election gets announced. It's a snap election, like I say. Nobody knew it was gonna come. Immediately, people from the news are going and interviewing people on the street. What do you think about the fact there's an election that's just arrived? And someone from the BBC in the streets of Bristol found someone called Brenda. Now, I'd love to play you this clip, but obviously it is copyrighted by another publication. Fortunately, we have our master mimic, Katie, in the studio here. So I'll be the reporter, you be old Brenda from Bristol, all right? Let's go over this, excuse me, madam, excuse me. I don't know if you've seen this. There's a snap election just been called for June the 8th.
Oh, you're joking! Not another one!
It's like she's in the studio.
That is so good, Katie.
That's not bad. Not another one. But this is the mad thing. Poor old Brenda. Because she immediately became a Twitter sensation. Mm. There was a hashtag. I'm not sure I like this hashtag. Sweet Brenda. I mean, that's a bit tasteless, isn't it? Just a bit tasteless even for us, really. But like, you know, I'm looking at tweets here. We are all Brenda. Brenda from Bristol is my new spirit animal. We are all Brenda from everyone is hashtag Brenda. Like her message that not another one, please no, spread around. First of all, do we agree with that message? Are you excited for the election or are you thinking not another one in a Bristol accent? Katie, I'll come to you first.
I can't take no more, James.
Okay.
That's not Bristol, that's in Somerset.
You're right, my love. You're right with this election.
I don't want another word, I'm telling you.
Oh, God.
No, I can't. Please stop.
It feels like it's a stupid sentence to say, but there's so much political news going around. I know there's always political news. It feels like we're moving at a faster pace at the minute. Woody, what's your thoughts,
man? I'm up for it. Any excuse to get out of the house, really. Just need a reason, just somewhere to turn up to.
Any excuse to give the kids a day off school, like, for the polling station.
There it is.
Whatever. I think it's a good thing. Okay.
Let's vote.
Let's just bloody vote. Let's just do it.
I'm up for a vote, absolutely. But I am as tired as Brenda from Bristol, I must admit. I'm very, very tired. Yeah. But I take it, we should say for Brenda specifically, though, God bless her. She did follow up interviews. She took it on the chin, becoming an instant meme. I'm giving Brenda snaps. Are you going to join me in this? I think we got to give snaps for Brenda. Snaps for Brenda. We love you, Brenda. Shout out. And also another welcome to all those Guardians of the Galaxy loving listeners who have no idea what's happened in the last 5 minutes. Welcome to our podcast. Those are the big stories for us on the site this week. If you want to check those out and give us your views, get on the site. It's popbuzz.co.uk and follow us on our Twitter and Facebook pages too. Right, so yes, just enough time this week to check in with DJ Woody in the corner. What is the banger of the week, Woody? What have you picked for us?
Mate, we're going with Kendrick Lamar this week. So yeah, dropped his new album a couple of weeks ago. Damn! I just wanted to say it like that. Sorry, guys. But no, we're going with Love featuring Zachary. I think that's how we're supposed to pronounce his name.
Okay.
I'm going with it.
Let's go with it.
It's just a bop. Kendrick never lets us down.
The album's great, isn't it? Like, genuinely, it's a fantastic album.
I just love him. I just really, really love him.
He's a good boy.
And this one, it just makes me all emotional, this one. It's really...
Who'd you get in your feels right here in the studio?
Oh, Kendrick.
Oh, bless you. Bless you. Kendrick, if you're listening, shout out, buddy.
This one's for you, babe.
outrageous behaviour. All right, well, that's about it for this week. We'll be back next week with a new set of guests. In the meantime, you can subscribe over on iTunes, over on SoundCloud, and basically anywhere you find your podcast. And make sure you go and check us out and see who's been talking to us this week over on our Twitter feed and on our Instagram. Just look up Pop Buzz. But until next week, it is goodbye from Katie. Say goodbye.
Bye.
It's goodbye from Woody. Say goodbye.
Ciao.
And it's goodbye from me. We will see you next week. I love myself. Police and a rock on the corner and a line full of fiend and a bottle full of lean and a model on the scene, yeah. These days of frustration keep y'all on tuck in rotation. Not another one!
Not another-